time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, it is that time of week again. When I thought we were going to start this segment, I thought it was going to be a lot more fun, but it is time for Packers Pundit Playback, the segment where we invite a Packers pundit to come join us to talk about the game the day before. And unfortunately, we are on week 4 of losing, but that does not mean I'm not any less excited for our guest who's with us today, Maggie Loney, who's co-founder and co-host of the Packs What She Said podcast, a Packers podcast hosted by Odyssey that aims to highlight female voices when it comes to the football industry. So Maggie, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. If you want to just skip the Packers talk and go back to Rocky Horror, that's
totally fine.
That's fine by
me.
It's a little,
more fun. Yeah.
A little more fun.
Well, it's also funny because, so you're the first female pundit that we've gotten on the show so far. And when I reached out to you and you got back to me very quickly about being excited to come on, but also had to have the caveat of, I may be giving birth. So as long as you're okay with me canceling last minute, I was like, that is the most, what more female answer could you have? As far and so congratulations. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I feel good. Yeah. I'm at this point, you know, I joke with my husband that as the games get worse and worse, I'm just ready for the baby to, you know, take me out of my misery. And, you know, I'd rather go to the hospital than watch some of these games, but so far so good.
Well, speaking of these games, because I've heard mixed, we watched the game last night with a group of friends and, you know, the second half honestly started to feel like there was some momentum that was started to feel like, all right, I never really thought we were going to come back and win. But for as good as the Bills are, and they are very good, and the fact that we almost got another touch, you know, had we not run out of time, I was like, maybe if we lost by 3. And so, I don't know. It sucks that we've now lost 4 in a row, but do you have any hope coming out of this game that things started to feel like there was some movement, that things are somewhat salvageable for the season?
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part when you watch the game is, you know, they say there's no moral victories, and that's obviously true. You don't get a W for trying your hardest, and you know, but a lot of the things that we saw were progress being made. And I think the frustrating part for a lot of Packer fans is, you know, had the Packers played this kind of game 3 weeks ago against the Giants or against the Jets or against the Commanders, you're probably not on a 4-game losing skid right now. Yeah. So for them to come out and have the performance they did against arguably the best team in the NFL, you know, there's a lot to build off of, but now you're running the risk of, are you building too little too late when you could have corrected some of these things or tried some of these things weeks ago?
Well, and what were some of the biggest adjustments that you felt like we saw happen last night that worked?
Yeah, so I think, you know, starting, the Packers were just behind the eight ball with receivers. That was really tough for them to not have Lazard. And then, you know, for Christian Watson, Aaron Rodgers had said post game that they had like 5 or 6 plays specifically dialed up for Watson. And then when he gets the concussion, you know, it kind of changes the game plan a little bit. Mm-hmm. So really liked the way they ran the football. That was something that we've been clamoring for weeks. They won the turnover battle finally. They won time of possession. So if you look like on paper, everything we wanted to see them do with these long sustained drives, you know, kind of chunk plays instead of just taking the deep shot, leaning on the run game, everything looked good. It just happened to be against one of the best defenses in the NFL and not, you know, some of the other defenses that they were facing previous weeks.
Yeah. And it is, because I feel like, because your podcast is part of the Cheesehead TV empire, right? Or
partially. Yeah.
Yeah.
We partner with them.
And
yeah.
So, you know, Aaron Nagler, who's been on here before, like he's like all seasons, like run the ball. And it felt like we finally were running the ball more yesterday. And there was that great Dobbs 38 yards as far as like that looked great. And that looked like vintage Aaron Rodgers throwing to someone that he trusts. And it was a great play. And so do you feel like that is the right, we're getting closer to the right combination of throwing and running?
I think so. Yeah. And I think, you know, for everything that Roger said and the flack he got for the comments about guys stepping up and making plays and the mental errors, I think they showed that on Sunday, that that was maybe the kick that they needed. You know, Dobbs had one of his best games after, you know, a lackluster couple weeks. Samori Toure got to come out and play and get his first touchdown as a pro. So, I mean, I think, you know, what we saw from the rookies is really promising. The surprise to me has been guys like Sammy Watkins, who, you know, have been brought in to be like the vet presence, and they don't get any targets and don't get any looks. They're not really making an impact the way that we thought they might for the offense.
And so that's kind of working. Anything like with our defense, as far as, because that kind of feels like we came into this season and there was like, oh, we have this like elite defense that just has not stepped up. And so do you feel like this is kind of, we're going towards Joe Barry not having a job by the end of the season, or where do you feel like we're going with the defense?
See, now that's tough because the Packers historically aren't a team that lets go of coaches midseason, which is why the McCarthy thing was so crazy a couple of years ago. I think we all expected them to just let him finish out the season. So I don't necessarily think anything happens with Joe Barry midseason, but I do think we're seeing more of a Matt LaFleur influence in that side of the room to just say, hey, these are the things I want to do on defense. And some of the questions to me come with the execution of the scheme, like, you know, Jair being on Gabe Davis the whole game, he shut him down completely. And then Stephon Diggs is running wild over Stokes and Rasul. So that kind of stuff to me is just the head scratcher of, you've invested so much on this side of the ball and there's so much talent there. Why aren't you putting them in the best positions to be successful?
Our guest this half hour for Packers Pundit Playback is Maggie Loney, who's the co-founder and co-host of Packs What She Said podcast, which is a great name. and so I think one of the more dramatic moments of the evening was when Quay Walker decided to push a coach. Was it a coach?
It ended up being a practice squad tight end, which makes it worse.
Why does that make it worse?
Because, I mean, if it's a coach, you're like, okay, they're personnel, they're an executive, kind of, they're an official. It's just a practice squad guy in street clothes. Like, he wasn't suited up. It wasn't a player. It wasn't a coach. He was just a dude to me, which made it.
And so I don't know if this has come out. So what was the, because it was the exchange that before the push, I didn't see. And so was after the game, was there any more insight into what he maybe said to Quay? Or
it sounded like Quay was, he had made the tackle against somebody that he played in college with. So it was like a John kind of thing. And then he felt a push and didn't know where it came from. And I think he interpreted it as somebody, and maybe, I don't know if the guy was trying to help him up or what it looked like, but it was just him in the moment getting too worked up.
And it was interesting because I always go back to this. This was it 2 weeks, 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago that Devontae pushed the camera guy?
That might have been 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. At this. It was a long time ago.
And
now,
I'm not excusing it, but there is this expectation of these players who are at the highest peak of their adrenaline and the peak of how intense this game is of tackling or be tackled and just the pumping testosterone that comes with that. And yet, but then in the moment, it's like, but you also have to control your emotions.
Yes. Right? You have to flip it like a switch.
Like a switch in the moment of, especially defenders and the attack mentality of, I am either figuratively or literally going to try to take your head off. And then once the whistle blows, I have to cool off. And they're not always very good at it. I'm not trying to excuse, you shouldn't push people. Devontae should not have pushed that cameraman. But it isn't like you think about any of us mere mortals and sometimes our inability to even check our emotions when we're driving, let alone like instructed and getting paid to try to take someone's head off. And then as fans were like, well, he needs to keep it under control. It's like, well, it kind of is probably a little bit harder than you think to be able to oscillate between those feelings so quickly.
Especially because I think one of the criticisms of this team the last couple of weeks, you know, Robert Saleh said it after the Jets game, where like, this is a Packers team that if you punch him in the mouth, he didn't call them soft, but you could tell what he was implying, that this is a team that, you know, kind of rolls over. So, you know, the Packers, like Aaron Rodgers, some of the guys were talking about how they had a really good week of practice. The energy was better. They felt more like the quote unquote Packers of old, where they were, you know, just, this is our house. And then you come out there and you finally bring energy and then you get kicked out for bringing too much energy. So I can understand that, yeah, that would be a really difficult balance to walk.
Well, especially because it's also just young guys that are like, I don't know. There is this weird balance between get fired up, chirp at each other, you know, get in each other's head, And then sometimes it goes too far, because he's not going to get suspended over this, is he?
They made it sound like just a fine, no suspension. Okay.
So that was one point of them. It was like, yeah, you can't push people. But that's all I could think of is like in the moment, I've never been in a fight in my life except on the basketball court, because you get all fired up. It's all that adrenaline. And so, all right. So then where do we, in your estimation, go from here? Everyone who's come on week after week in this four week losing streak has been like, all right, it's still early. It's still early. Is it still early?
See, and this is the tough part, because the games that they were supposed to win, they did not win.
Yeah.
So now you're getting into, you know, you would hope that next week they can beat the Lions. It'll end kind of their road stretch that's been really daunting. But they've had some really bad luck of the draw, too, as far as like they just played a Bills team that had a bye week after beating the Chiefs, which is like, you know, the team that took them out of the playoffs last year. They had the London game that took a lot out of them. So this is like a really drained team. They're getting a ton of injuries. We don't know what's going to happen with Devondre Campbell.
Yeah.
So it feels like the odds keep stacking against them. But I guess the one caveat or the saving grace at this point is that the rest of the NFC wildcard picture is just as up in the air. You've got the Bucs, you've got the Rams. So it's unfortunate that the Packers have lost tiebreakers now to the Giants and the Commanders. But at the same time, if they can somehow figure out a way to win like six games, I think that puts them still possibly in wildcard contention, even though the division at this point feels kind of out of reach.
All right, so it's not all, it's salvageable. And where do you feel like prediction-wise, what would need to happen? As far as like, even with the people who are hurt, like, who do we need to come back and get off of the injured reserve list to actually get those six wins, you think?
I think Lazard coming back is big as a security blanket for Rodgers. You would think Cobb, obviously, but we don't know the long term. You know, I don't know how many weeks he's got left with that ankle. He's in a boot right now. But I think, you know, it's just the pieces on offense, because I think the defense has what they need at this point. It's just more of an execution from them. And, you know, I think the consistency is the killer here. They consistently play one good half of football, and holding the Bills, you know, in the second half to 3 points was fantastic. And they got two turnovers. And, you know, that was the kind of stuff you wanted to see from them. It was just, you know, it's either the defense is getting stops and then the offense can't put up points, or the offense is finally scoring and the defense lets the Bills score five consecutive drives. Like, they just have to get some consistency, and then I'll feel better about both sides of the ball.
All right. Well, this is Packers Pundit Playback, and our guest for this half hour is Maggie Loney, who's the co-founder and co-host of PAX What She Said podcast. We're going to take a break and then talk more about the podcast when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A jump to the left. Put your hands on your hips.
To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are on doing Packers Pundit Playback with
kind of like that trust
factor. Maggie Loney, who's the co-founder and co-host of
Be without Alan Lazard.
Oh,
this is going to be for Sunday. Cobb's on IR. Sammy Watkins.
I'm hearing something. Oh, that's why I was listening to your podcast. So it was my ear just now. I was like, I'm the only one hearing this. We're having a lot of ghost issues today as far as our technology is going. And so our guest is Maggie Loney, co-founder and co-host of the PAX What She Said podcast, which is a Packers podcast hosted by Odyssey that aims to highlight female voices in the industry. And so how many female voices are there in the industry? Do you feel outnumbered?
Yeah, when I first joined like the Twitter community a long time ago, just as like somebody that really loved football and wanted to keep up with it, and it can be kind of overwhelming when you're thinking about, you know, especially when you have like just a couple followers and you're like, wow, that was a great blah, blah, blah. And then everybody jumps on it and swarms it. And you're like, oh no, this was just me and my little band of 20 people on Twitter that nobody was supposed to see this tweet. So then when you intentionally put yourself out there and start a podcast, it does, it feels kind of like you're taking up the mantle a little bit. And I don't want to say that we're like trying to represent too many voices, but it does feels like you have this like responsibility to really be on your dots and cross your T's and know everything there is to know because you are an underrepresented piece of the industry.
And so how often are you dealing with, speaking of chirping, of men chirping, how often do you and your co-founder, co-host, Perry Goldstein, are you dealing with kind of annoying people who would like to discredit your takes? And how much are you encouraged and feel like supported in you're like, whether it's on Twitter or the podcast?
I will say, like, you learn to develop some thick skin. And there was a time, like, I used to write for Cheesehead TV, and then I took a little maternity leave from doing that because it was a lot. But you learn not to read the comments.
Yeah.
So you don't read, like, the reviews of your podcast. You don't read the comments under articles. And I will say, like, 90% of people, honestly, I think it's that high of a number, are fantastic and very supportive. But the 90% of people that say, hey, you're great at this, it doesn't do something to you the way that the one that says, like, wow, you're terrible, really just sticks with you. So you eventually learn to stop reading all of it, even though, you know, you miss some really nice comments from people.
Yeah.
Because it's just not worth it to hear the ones that are going to make you feel bad the rest of the day.
Well, and it's funny because the sports crowd is an opinionated crowd.
Yeah.
Right. And whether it's what I think about like Bucks Twitter or Packers Twitter, or I mean, this is probably the same for every team, but the fights that you could see of people like on social media and how seriously they take the sports. Cause like it's one thing for since I kind of with my social media presence is more political, which, mm-hmm. you know, I think you can argue that there sometimes feels like there's more stakes of why people, as we're seeing, I mean, there's violence and like there's a bunch of stuff that is, but people take their sports just as seriously when you get into these different parts of the internet. And so I think almost like everything, we talked about this last week when we had two women who work in venture capital, specifically in health tech, is that almost no matter what industry you're in, there's just, if you're a woman trying to talk about typical male things, just the immediate discredit that they want to not acknowledge your expertise. And so like just listening, just talking to you right now, like you clearly know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
And so I appreciate, I mean, it's been really popular though. Like what it seems like, how many years have you guys been doing the podcast?
We started actually like right when the pandemic started. So early 2020.
That's awesome. And so you've seen obviously a lot of growth with it because as of this year is when you joined the Odyssey family.
Yep. Over the summer.
And how's that been going?
It's been fun. And, you know, I joke that this came at a good time because now we have a producer. So I don't have to be the producer and I don't have to edit anything anymore. I get to, you know, I guess hopefully in the next month or two, find a quiet spot to record for 30 minutes. And then just my duties are then back to the baby. So it came at a good time for us.
Yeah, that seems like, as someone who has a producer, it makes a big difference.
I love it.
She does a great job. She's all of our spooky music today. She didn't get to play her sports ball song that she typically plays, but during this segment, as far as sports being so important. And so what else, where can people find the podcast, and when is it come out on Mondays?
Yes, you can find the podcast like anywhere you can find your favorite podcasts. We're on Odyssey. You can even find us on the Cheesehead TV website still. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, you know, Google Play. I don't even know all of them anymore. Amazon. But yeah, we do a recap show. Normally it's live on Mondays, but we figured with it being Halloween and trick-or-treating, we're not going to go live today because people have other things to do and they'll get in trouble if they bring us with them trick-or-treating. So the shows normally come out either Monday night or Tuesday mornings. And then Thursday mornings we have like the preview show. So there's always a preview and a recap.
Got it. And then because as you said, like there's the podcast, it recaps the game, it previews the game. But is there anything specific you and your co-hosts do as far as highlighting female voices in this industry? Or is it just by proxy of being a female that you feel like that is the representation you're trying to give in the slew of Packers podcasts?
Yeah, well, when we started, we were the only podcast about the Packers that was hosted by two women. Wow. So that was really cool. It felt like a milestone for us. And we've had the pleasure of having some really fantastic guests come on. Melissa Jacobs, who's from The Football Girl, she founded that website, has come on to talk with us about the 49ers. We had Mina Kimes on, which was like the highlight of our entire podcasting career, ESPN analyst Mina Kimes. So we try really hard to bring on, if we're going to have guests on the show, which can be hard to do when you're trying to coordinate, you know, week to week, but a lot of now locker room media and analysts are women. So we had Brooke Pryor come on last year from the Steelers. And just if there is a female analyst on a team, we typically will try to reach out to them to bring them onto the show, because it's just, you know, it's something that we really like to do. And we like to represent those voices, yeah, because like you said, they're just as knowledgeable.
Yes, absolutely. And so thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun. I'm so glad we got you before baby arrives. Good luck with everything. Actually, quickly, just because I saw it on Twitter, what was your Halloween costume?
Yeah, I was the Kool-Aid man. So the baby was the Kool-Aid pitcher. And then we made some brick walls out of styrofoam. So looking forward to, I guess, a family costume next year that isn't just me smelling Sharpie fumes.
Yeah, it was very good. So Maggie Loney, thank you so much for being here. Check out her podcast, Packs What She Said podcast. And good luck with everything. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.